not preach so to say exegetically through the passage, but want to make some comments and then move us into a position of doing what the psalm says, into immediate obedience this morning. But let's read the psalm in its entirety, and then I want to come back and focus on a few verses. Psalm 145, this is God's holy word. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Well, let's be seated this morning. This morning, what I am hoping for is an exercise of verse 4 and 5. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Just a few thoughts this morning to help focus us, and I hope perhaps encourage us to participate in what the psalmist has in mind, what David has in mind here regarding Psalm 145. The idea is that there is a responsibility for each of us in whom the Lord has done good things to tell others that they may know, yes, what those good things are, but even more so that they may know our God is the doer and the giver of good things. As we're looking here at Psalm 145, it is a sense of corporate praise. So that in this psalm, it's not just the responsibility of a pastor or a preacher or a singular spokesman to be about the business of proclaiming all the good that God has done or all the majesty that is within the Lord. Notice here in verse 5, on the glorious splendor of your majesty. So that would be the being of God. And on your wondrous works, that would be the doing of God, I will meditate. And then look down here in verse 6. They, not merely I anymore. And so it is the privilege as well as the responsibility of those who have seen God in the splendor of His majesty and who have experienced the wonder of His mighty deeds to tell one generation. So perhaps both young and old, one generation who know these things of God to another generation. The psalm is not limited merely to the older telling the younger, although that's repeatedly a pattern in Scripture, right? For parents and for older women to mentor younger women and older men, younger men. There certainly is that generational issue at stake here within the whole Scriptures. But in this psalm, it's not merely assumed that the older will be this one speaking. Sometimes it's out of the lips of children that come praise. For instance, I'm thinking, as I have been over the course of the past several weeks regarding this day and of faces and events, and there is emblazoned in my memory prayer meetings where the children are confessing sin in prayer, and children crying out for the salvation of their little friends. Oh, the command to commend the work and the glory of God is not limited to the adults or to the older ones. And so this morning, as we give praise and remembrances of the Lord and who He is and what He has done, perhaps there will be a sweeter, younger voice in the midst as well, reminding us of who God is scripturally. A reading of Scripture, as some of you may have come prepared for, and reminding us of all that God is. And notice, too, this the continualness. What I'm hoping will happen today, more and more, will be true for us in that we do not limit our activity of praise to just simply the times in which we are gathered together. Although I certainly hope that happens. That when we gather together on a Sunday morning for Sunday school, or when we gather together for Sunday morning in worship, or we gather together on a Wednesday, or we gather together on a Saturday down at the lake like we did yesterday, that in the midst of our conversations, because every day, verse 2, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Notice in verse 3, not only the how is to be continual, and in fact, if you go through this psalm, there is a sense of the continualness of those who have seen God and seen God work, that there's a continuity, a continual nature of the praise. But notice there's also a sense of the demeanor or the manner in which we are to give praise. So in verse 3, great is the Lord, right? And so we're going to praise Him because He is great. That's the right thing to do. He is greater than I am. And so I as His subject, I as His creation, I as the one who have been acted upon by His grace, because of His great love for me, because of His great mercy for me, I'm going to praise Him. But notice how that praise is to be given. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I'll confess to you now. That's an area I need to be a bit more active in. I sort of meekly give His praise. But today, we're gathered here for the most part, as far as I'm looking across faces, as those who have declared that you've been brought out of the dead and into the living, out of darkness and into light. We are here in agreement that God is good and God has done something good for us for His great name's sake. So let us not be meek, at least in this place, for the praise of His name. Is anyone here going to snicker at you when you give God glory? Not in this place. Is anybody in this place going to roll their eyes when you say a good word about the Lord? Not in this place. So of all places, let us be encouraged and free to greatly praise the Lord who is great, for His greatness is unsearchable. Which means, if we really put our minds to it, we could not get to the bottom of all the praise that is due Him today. There is a sense that if we truly open up our hearts to the Lord, if we're going to stop giving praise, it's because somebody in this room is going to have to say, okay, that's enough. We need to move on. One generation shall commend your works to another. And certainly a day like today lends itself to pondering the Lord and acknowledging His greatness and His mercy. He was near to a small group of people who were calling upon His name as they searched out His face about beginning what would become GCBC. But can I encourage you? He's just as near now to those who call out to Him and who are seeking His face. This morning, in just a few moments, I want us to give the opportunity to fulfill that last verse, my mouth, each of us, if you're able and willing, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. And I've asked George McLeod to help be our runner with the microphone. If you would be gracious and wait upon him to bring you the microphone. I know perhaps some of you would think, well, I don't need the microphone. Well, you may not, but others do. And so be gracious to the others who are in the room who need to be able to hear you through the PA system and wait for George to bring you the microphone. Or if it's just a microphone can move down a seat or two, that's fine. But if it needs to travel the room, if you wait for George. And this is what we're looking for. We're looking for sentences that begin with, today I give God praise for. Today I thank God because. This morning I read from God's Word which says, I want to thank God because He has done X. I want to praise God because He is X. They do not have to be long praises or thanksgivings. And if you came this morning and you've got your sheet of 100, and I would certainly hope that some of you do, maybe just one at a time, and give others a chance to speak around the room so that perhaps we can hear as many voices who are interested in giving praise this morning as possible. And then if we only get to number 75 on your list, well, when we have lunch a little bit later on, share your other 25 around the table. That can keep on going on, right? So this morning, I'm interested to open the floor, as it were, before the throne of God, because He really is the main audience, right? That's why I want our sentences to begin, I thank God for, I praise God for, because we want to focus on His activity in the last 24 hours, in the last week, in the last 10 years. And so, George, would you come and thank you so much for your willingness to serve in this humble way. And so I'm asking, is there one this morning? Mr. Billy, thank you for not making us wait. And thank you, Mr. Billy. I would like for you to stand when you're able.
I thank the Lord for His Word. Then when you call upon me, this is Jeremiah 29:12. Then when you call upon me and come, pray to me, and I will listen to you. For you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. You cannot see all the scripture in this house today because it's covered up with sheetrock. A carpet, but between every stud in this building, there's a verse of scripture that was dear to someone's heart. On the floor, even in the kitchen, there's words that from the Bible pertaining to God's word about food. And I'd like to thank the Lord for his marvelous medium of prayer, whereby we can go to him, ask him for things, praise his name mainly. And I thank God for the grace that he's allowed me these 76 years to serve him. And as time goes on, they get precious and more precious. And I just thank each one of you for your prayers. And as Pastor Ken stated a while ago, this church was started with prayer before it ever started. And it was prayed that the Lord would send a pastor. None was sought, but the Lord would send a pastor. And he was true to his word, he did. And I praise him.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Others, Andy? I'm just going to call hands as I best see them best, so be gracious with me if I overlook you.
I'm thankful that the leadership, when they started the church, and they continue to deliberately make decisions to serve the Lord and to seek the truth, and that the congregation is choosing to do that as well. And a connection to Joshua 24, read a few verses from there. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then the people responded, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people whom we passed. And the Lord drove us out before all the people. I'll skip a few verses. And Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Joshua said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord and the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So I'm just thankful that the leadership and the people of the church have chosen to serve God.
Praise the Lord. Good. I praise the Lord for, I thank the Lord for, this is what God has done for me. Josh, thank you.
My wife and family and I are relatively newer here, and I'm thankful that as we moved to this place only a few years ago, God provided somewhere where the power of the gospel is elevated among gimmicks and tricks and flashy words. I wanted to read in Romans, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That is our hope, that faith alone in Christ alone, by grace alone, for God's glory alone, by his word alone is our hope, not in anything else. And we were so thankful that when we come here, God's word and his glory is held as central, because as the word reads, that is our hope. And so I'm thankful for that, and may it continue to be so.
I praise God for, I thank God because. because I've seen God do. John?
I'm wired. If it works, I don't know if you have me on. I'm thankful for the Word of God, and I think more than once today, Mr. Billy, there will be some sharing about those scriptures behind the coverings of the walls that we can see. But my memory goes back to our first official meeting together. We were not meeting here at that time. We were meeting at Berkeley Elementary School. And I'm thankful to God that He's impressed upon all of us His greatest command, to love Him with all that we are, all of our mind, our heart, and strength, soul. And the second is to love others as ourselves. And I have this memory, mainly because Karen brings it up often. That first morning of worship was you can understand, a great level of excitement for us. And the children were excited, and they had the bulletins, and they were handing them out to people as they were coming in to join us for worship. And this one memory is of this one of our young ladies from the church. We rush up to an elderly lady who walked in the door, grab her around both legs and hug her and squeeze her hard, and then looked up and said, "Do I know you?" And it just didn't matter. Just the excitement of worshiping God for the first time together as a new church plant, and the love expressed because of who God is, just a memory imprinted in our hearts and mind.
Karen?
I also, Mr. Billy, often think, even as I'm walking across the floor, I will stand and just think, what is beneath my feet? What word is written in these floors? Remembering just the walls without the sheetrock, knowing that verse after verse, hundreds of verses are written. And I don't know exactly what's on this spot, but I do know what's written at our entrance. And I want to share one of those. And it says, "I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells," from Psalms 26:8. And then, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations," from Psalms 104. So even as we enter the gates here, we have such reason for thanksgiving, such reasons for praise, such reasons for joy.
Okay. "On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate." Something regarding the being or the doing of God that deserves praise this morning. Miss Betty Beaver, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'll let you hold that. So I want to say this morning that I am so very thankful that I can read, that someone taught me to read a long time ago. And I praise God for His words. And I did not know we were going to talk about words on the wall. But recently have this put on my wall at home. And I'm very tender today. So I ask you to bear with me. It's in Colossians 3. And it says, "And so as those who have been chosen of God, a holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whosoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And behold, all these things put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." I ask you to forgive me. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Praise the Lord.
I praise the Lord for. I thank the Lord for. And you just might want to complete the sentence. You don't need to feel the pressure to add or anything, but just I praise the Lord for, I thank the Lord for, this is what God has done in my life for His glory. Well, then let's, Miss Sarah.
Well, I was one of the first, and the Bible says, love one another, for love is of God. And whenever I tell anybody about our church, it's about the wonderful, wonderful love that we have between, you know, the people. And I had back surgery. I had it 3 times, but the second time I all but bled to death, and but for God. And I have got cards and boxes from the children in this church. And the pastor's children, he would love to see some of them. He and Naomi, because Rebecca and Josh wrote the longest Bible verses. Not little short ones, but long ones. And they were little then. And sometimes when I need a little uplift, I go back in my box and read my little things from the children. But one of my first memories is when we came out here on this lot. It is on a little hill. And when the ones came out here and walked up on the hill, we all had the feeling that this was holy ground. And the children that first came to the church, the mothers would put a little blanket down. The Johnson children raised theirs on blankets, and now you see how grown they are. And then Katie Grace was our baby. And I really think she was our first baby. And I know that on Sunday mornings, that she would run up to Mr. Billy for him to pick her up every Sunday. So when I think, oh, gee, we've got so many young people. Oh, no, they're going off to college. And then we turn around and we have families with 4, 5, and 6 come and replenish those that, mm-hmm. not that they're, you know, we miss them, but God gives us children again to build our church up again. And can't thank our pastor and his wife enough. They have been solid rocks, and Billy and I've had a few episodes, and Pastor Ken is always there, and we praise God, and we thank him, for all the people in the church, because we love each other from the time we meet, and I just want to say thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Ms. Janda?
There seems to be a theme going here of what a blessing grace has been to us here, and it's mainly because of truth, and that we're hearing truth, and that's a rare thing. In Psalms 25, make me to know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. I'm just thankful for God, for the truth, for his truth here.
Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord. The Lord has done. How would you end the sentence? Ponder on that as we sing our next two songs, and we're going to come back to a second season of taking in praise. The next song that we're going to sing has a little history behind it. So in 2005, a group of us from Grace, I know including myself, McLaurin's, a young couple that's moved on to Kentucky and Indiana, the Robertsons. Did you all go to that conference too? The Hellers also went to a conference, and there was a song sung that we all agreed we wanted to bring back. And that is the song which was very apropos for us as a church body in the early days. And I think I propose still for us. And so that is a covenant of grace. And so let's stand together. Again, let's recite the verse which is our focal thought, not just today, hopefully all our days. But let's say unto the Lord, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. I give thanks to God for I have seen God do this. How would you answer that, Miss Dot? Thank you.
The psalm we just sang answered it perfectly. All the glory goes to God and to Jesus, because if it weren't for the prayers of my church family and the answered prayers from our Lord, I wouldn't be standing here today. Those of you that know me know I've been through some times in this church since it's become. In fact, I think that, I know that my husband's service was the first funeral that PK preached. And through the last 10 years, the love and the prayers have brought me to a point. And to God is the glory, because last November, there was a drug that was approved that has saved my life, and I know that it came from God. He has something. I'm here. I don't know, but I'm trying. And I give him all glory and the love of my church family. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Ms. Dodd. I want to speak on that just a moment. I've said this occasionally. You know, when we first began at Grace, not everybody in Monk's Corner was happy about it. And we were sort of looked askance. I still remember going to Central and that's that new pastor. And some things were said about us early on, and God in His providence, that first funeral was a healing in this community. It was hard on Miss Dot, obviously, and the rest of the family. But there was a lot of healing in that service, because they got to see a church that loved each other and where the Lord God was lifted up first and foremost. And, so out of heartache, God brings good. Praise. Thanksgiving. I have seen God do or be. Miss Janda?
I praise the Lord because His word says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And I praise God for that.
Miss Betty Jean, thank you. Thank you, George.
I noticed the scripture on the front of our outline today. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, from 1 Corinthians 1:9. And that reminded me so vividly that God has been faithful to me since the moment I accepted His Son as my Savior.
Praise the Lord.
Repented of my sins. And as I think back, my list would be very long in thankfulness and praise for what He has done in my life and my family. This church was the answer to prayers that many of you are not aware of. And it came at a time in many of our lives when we needed God's faithfulness. We needed His direction and His love and His care.
and we were never disappointed and never will be. Our pastor, Ken, has been there for us, for our family, as many of you, from illness to sorrow to joy to death. He performed this service for my brother who passed away a couple of years, and this church and its members and families responded to our family in a way that we had never expected. And we praise God for that and for just a list that I could not even begin to share with you today. And I know I'm speaking for many others of you here, that we just praise our Lord and thank Him for His faithfulness.
Praise the Lord. A moment when this church watched an older man become a newborn. And we praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Other praise? Thanksgiving? Amy?
So I praise God for this passage that has been particularly meaningful for me over the past few weeks. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and He preached peace to you, to us, who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him we also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. So that it would be true, would it not, that God's greatest work is not this, right? It's this. When He's knitting our hearts together, He forms us into one in faith in Christ. We are thankful for this, right? I am thankful for this. But this is far greater. Miss Betsy Hudson, there in the middle, George.
Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man, for He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul He fills with good things. God gives each of us a hungry soul and a longing soul, and then He spends the rest of our lives satisfying that hunger and thirst. He sends His word to heal our hearts. He has healed my heart again and again and again and again. And I would just echo what Josh said earlier. I am so thankful that the word of God is preached in season, out of season, as it is, with great dependence on the Holy Spirit, transforming us from the inside out. I think it gets better than that. I praise God for who He is.
Praise, thanksgiving. I have seen God, Jerry. I have seen God do or be.
Before we knew Pastor Ken was coming, we had Tex Hudson. And at the meetings he attended while we were becoming established, he pointed out to me Exodus 14, 13 through 15. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." The urgency of Tex and the sincerity. I look around, a lot of you didn't know Tex, but you know Betsy. And I feel Tex is a part of this as we speak right now, a big part. And I'm so thankful that I got to know him and that he is a part of Grace Community Baptist Church.
A praise to the Lord. Thanksgiving to the Lord. Whitney? George, right behind you.
I just wanted to say that how important it is to be in the Word, because we go about our lives even after salvation and we get so busy. And I think I was just talking to Cassie about that yesterday, that oftentimes, especially as moms, you hit the ground running. And even my kids are older and I still hit the ground running. if we don't have our eyes on the truth of God's Word, we're going to panic and make decisions that aren't biblical and then reap what we sow. But still, our God is faithful. And I just wanted to read something that encouraged me when our family yet again went through another major trauma. And we have been hit a lot, and especially right after I got saved, we got hit. And it's just been hard. But I wanted to encourage other people that God is faithful regardless of who you are. It's not about how good or how, you know, what have you done to try to please Him or your failures. It's not about us. It's Christ. He's already done it. It's His Word is true. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. And to look more at the faithfulness and the character of Christ, look in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. And in that being said, I wanted to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to skip a little bit just to kind of keep on track about what my point is. It says, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. They came to seek the Lord. O God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kings of the nations? And your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? We will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. O God, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. And he said, 'Listen, you, all of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. You will need not fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.
Praise the Lord.
But I also wanted to read from James 1, verse 2, and I think 3. Hang on. Anyway, I'll just read. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. And I just wanted to be transparent and encourage you guys. So many times when we were hit, my first reaction is to panic and to wallow in fear and pity. And, you know, what I have seen, and I know the Lord have come back and challenged me on this, but when things come at you and or just things happen or what's going on with our nation, which I felt like that was so fitting, is your first response is to think, this is good, this is not bad, this is good, the purging is good, God's faithfulness is good because he strengthened your faith in him. Your eyes get put back on him and not yourself and not your enemies.
Right. Good. I praise the Lord for, I thank the Lord for, I have seen God do or be. Ms. Tracy, and then Justine.
It's kind of hard for me to begin, too, because I was with the original prayer group that met on Thursday nights. And that is just such a special time for my family. And just thinking of that, I just thank God for memories that he reminds us of where we've been and where we've become. And on those Thursday nights, I was pregnant with Katie at the time, and I had to go on bed rest. And it was for 3 months. And Miss Mike, she moved a recliner in the living room for me so that I was able to come to prayer meeting. And I just thank her so much for that. And the love that was in that room, I will never forget in my whole entire life. It was just an awesome love that was there in the presence of God. And so I thank you. And now to see our church 10 years later, what a blessing it is to see how many people are here now when we just started out with 8 families just praying. And just to see the power of prayer. And one scripture that I remember reading so often at prayer meeting was Psalm 103. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just read verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And once again, I just want to thank everybody. And another memory I have, I could go on and on for the memories of this church. But one memory I have is the power of prayer. That when you asked for prayer, you knew you were prayed for. It wasn't just, okay, I'll pray for you. But you knew and you felt every one of those prayers, whether it was family, friends, coworker, whatever it was, you knew when you asked for prayer that it was always received. And I just praise God so much for this church and what it's done for my family and my life. Thank you.
Justine?
As I hear everybody share, I think of lots of different things on the spot that I'm thankful for, but the one thing that really sticks out a lot to me now, goodness gracious, is when we moved from Alabama, all of our family is there, so we're here, and we didn't have Piper yet. I'm thankful that
of our family does not share our theology. That God has given us a family here that does share our theology. And I can trust my daughter and our son to them, to you, to you. And I know that we will not have to unteach them things or explain, you know, why something was said incorrectly, but we can trust that they are going to be taught about the gospel of Christ just like we try to teach them at home. And that is very comforting because we're not alone in teaching our children. But that God has given us a support system that's going to help us, that's going to come in and supplement where we fail. And they're gonna fill in all of those holes and all of those gaps. And that is such a blessing for us because we didn't know if we were going to have that when we moved here and how God would provide it. And so now with number two on the way and seeing the fruit of that already being manifested in Piper, it's been a blessing to us. And so I'm thankful for God because he's built our family, and he's not only building it, but he is establishing it and sustaining it through the local body. And that's exactly what we needed.
Thank you. Ms. Adrian?
I haven't been here for 10 years, but it sure feels like it. Just the love and that everyone has shown us. I just wanted to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And I always think of this church when I read that chapter, just the love that you all show. And my husband and I, we've been looking for a church that just preached the truth. And out of all of the churches in our neighborhood, I mean, there are lots of churches where we live. We travel all the way, 30 minutes away, just to come here. So I know he led us here. And I just can't stop thinking of, like, when Justine and Anna Lee brought us food when we moved into our house. And my husband was like, they bring us food? Like, what is this? We're not used to this. So I just wanted to say thank you all for just everything, all of the love that you guys have showed us since we've been here. And it truly feels we've been here for a long time, but probably only like 2-3 months now. So. But thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for. I thank God for. I have seen the Lord do or be. Scott.
God is good.
Yes, he is.
He still answers prayer. Just as at the beginning, y'all were saying this was answered prayer. This church has still answered prayer. It was our answer to our prayer, and I know there's several families, just like it's already been said today. To express the love from this church and that they're seeking the Lord. They're not doing this on man. They're doing it through the Lord. They're seeking the Lord for their guidance, and I just thank the leadership for that. And we been here about 4 years or so, and you wouldn't know it. It feels like we were here from the beginning. Just the love, there's the way you're just brought in when you come in. It's just, that's all I can say. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Miss Betty?
I'd like to share Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. 10 years ago, that was a lot of us. We were thirsty and we were in dry ground. And since then, we can't say that anymore. I think one of the spiritual markers of this church is for the people who've come through here, maybe not to even join, but to heal. For a time when they were hurting or something was going on in their life and they were just passing through, but they could come and heal here. And I think this is still a testimony of this church for all of us, that we have no excuse, that we have no reason to be thirsty or to be on dry ground, because we are given such, as already been said, such a foundation of Scripture. And now, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would pour His Spirit on our seed, not our offspring?
Praise, thanksgiving, a remembrance that God should receive glory for. Okay, Karen, thank you, Dawn. This is Karen.
All the praise, all the glory to Him and everybody's expressions. But I keep hearing the praise for faithfulness, for God's love. And we just sang the covenant of grace, so I want to praise God that He is a covenant keeper, and He has been for each of us. In Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel for grace community. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And so I thank God for the truth of His word and that He does keep His covenant and His promises to us.
Amen. This morning, let's continue in our singing and recognizing that the Lord, when He saves us, He puts us in His church, the bride. And so we live life together now and in eternity. And so let's stand together again. Let us recite scripture together. Well, let's be seated for a moment, as I want to spend some time this morning remembering and recognizing. If you have your worship guides there before you, we sang in the church's one foundation, one day we shall meet with the saints who have gone before. We want to remember those who indeed have gone before us. So we remember and pray for those who remain. We remember L.H., or better known, Rip Harrell, and Elliot Anderson, Tex Hudson. We remember Betty Lisenby going to be with the Lord from our midst, and Robert Henry Bob Dangerfield, Jr. Remember Leonard Lisenby and his homegoing. In fact, Leonard's was the first homegoing in the building, if I remember correctly. Helen Murray McKelvey, Miss Ruth McIntosh Thrash. We thank the Lord and honor for His work in Gladys Amelia McKnight Dangerfield, and for our brother Hampton Metz. And most recently, we thank the Lord for his keeping and preserving, even through the valley of the shadow of death, our sister, Patricia Pat Watson. I'm curious, as we're gathered, if you were here on that first Sunday together back at the school, if you're here this morning and you were part of that first Sunday that we gathered, would you just rise for a moment? Praise the Lord. Yeah? Praise the Lord. I encourage you to be seated. The Bible says that certain servants are worthy of honor as well. And so, if you have been an elder of grace over these 10 years, I ask you to stand. And we thank the Lord for these men. And if you have served as a deacon with the body of grace, would you please rise? We thank the Lord for these men as well. If you've taught the Word of God in this body, whether that be with women's studies or with the children or with adults, if you've taught the Word of God with this body, would you stand, please? The Bible says that they'll be held to a stricter judgment. They should also be held to a stricter honor as well. We thank the Lord for you. 10 years ago, I wrote a letter to the body of grace before we had our first public meeting, and I have sent that out as a hard copy, and I've emailed that to those of you who have had emails. And if you're curious to read it, there are copies on the information table. But basically, the letter came down to say this: you know, we have no idea what's going to unfold in the next few days. We really didn't. But God was faithful in honoring His name and His word. And we said in the letter that, you know, we have no idea how things will unfold or who the Lord will add or what the Lord will do in terms of activities in our midst. We just wanted to keep our eyes on Him. We knew this at the beginning, that it had, whatever we did, it needed to focus on God. We need to lift up His Word. We needed to love one another. And we need to be a people of prayer and missions. Those were sort of the key identifiers for us. And I'm so thankful that in the midst of the testimonies, that's what we are still hearing 10 years later. You know, it's true, and after 10 years, we look different. Some of us have facial hair. Some of us have less hair. Some of us are just new to the body. Right? Some have gone to be with the Lord. Some have come, and some have gone. And that's the Lord's doing. What about the next 10 years? 10 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you know what? We're going to look different again. And some of us will already be receiving the reward of our faith. I pray we're ready when that day comes. And I don't know, still 10 years later, I don't know what's going to unfold. I don't know what people the Lord will add. It's really His business, right? We're about the business of going and gathering, right? And spreading the news of the gospel, and who the Lord adds, that's His role. Who knows? 10 years from now, we might be in the very same building. We might be in a building twice as big. I don't know. I know this. I don't want to keep it just this, if the Lord wills. I want us sharing good news, proclaiming the blessings of God's name. Many of you are here because others in this body, they told you about a place where people loved God, and they loved God's people. And I pray that we keep doing that same telling one generation to another, so that those whom the Lord is drawing will be drawn. Those who are seeking the Lord by His Spirit will be drawn. And that the Lord will faithfully add to this number. programs might change. What we're doing right now in terms of activities may be completely different a year from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now. But I know this, we will be put it mildly amiss if it's still not based on prayer and loving one another, acting from His Word, and seeking to make God the center. I'm open to whatever God wants to do, but we can't give up these things, right? Because these are the things in Scripture that we studied and saw repeatedly, what God blesses. So, Pastor Ken, what are the next 10 years going to look like? I don't know what the next 10 minutes looks like. Right? I don't. But let's continue to pursue Him, His ways, and His glory. And may we just simply rejoice along the way as He leads. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, my own heart is full of memories. Men and women crying out, and did not Psalm 145 say that you hear and answer the cries of those who cry out? I think of a Sunday morning when Sunday school hour became an hour of confession and repentance and praise, and it spilled out over into the worship hour. Oh, may we be that hungry again. I remember a time when tempers flared in an open meeting, and by that Sunday, public reconciliation and confession took place. There was no production of that. That's not a thing that man can produce or manipulate. That's the activity of your Spirit. I remember a time of prayer where a young man with a brain tumor was prayed over. And you visited, and every man around that young man knew you were going to heal him. And he was. I remember baptisms. Again, the kind of work that only you can do. We are your instruments in your hand. They can only believe if they hear. We praise you for the conversions we've seen. We thank you for the moments of revival that we've seen. We thank you for the moments of humility and tearfulness and encouragement in the light of confession. We thank you that as a church body, there have not been any major rumblings of division. And I think, Lord, that comes back to what we said at the very beginning. It's not about us. To you be glory and honor, Lord. Father, the next 10 years is, some are called home. Some perhaps are moved away. because of job or because of family. As many, we pray, are added. May we be the family of God, loving our Lord with our whole mind, our whole strength, our whole being. May we be a body that loves one another, because this is how they're going to know that we are your disciples. Not the excellency of the music or the restroom facilities or whether we have a particular program going on. Help us to love you. Help us to love one another. May the bedrock bricks of your church, certainly the blood of Christ, first and foremost, but of the pillar of prayer, and the pillar of missions, the pillar of study in the Word. Father, may these continue to uphold us. Even now, as we send one, as it appears you are opening the doors, we send one from our midst to go to another region of the world. May you continue to rise up missionaries who will go to far parts of the world and who will stay in this very county, but who are on fire for others to tell of Jesus. We don't know, and we don't have to know the next 10 years or even tomorrow, but we know we are to keep our eyes on you. Just as you have been faithful in the past, you do not change. There is no shadow of turning with you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you will be faithful in the days ahead. So we afresh and anew rest and labor and hope and pray and love, and sing, and study, and worship. In the name of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 10 years ago, when we were about to close the service, we sang two songs. And the two songs that we shall end with today are the same two. To God be the glory, both the shorter song, my tribute, and to God be the glory, the hymn. Following our singing, we'll be set free to stay, if you're able to stay. I hope that you will encourage those who look like they're about to leave. Just encourage them with a good word. Miss Patty is in charge of the table setup. We thank the member care team for their helping to organize today. Those of you who've helped set up on Sundays before, I guess the same idea, but now we have a food table. You want a few tables along this window here, Miss Patty? And then we'll set up and have a blessing and have a blessed afternoon as well. Let's stand together. Again.